Blog Talk Radio.
You're live, Miracle Man. You're live, Miracle Man. You're live, Miracle Man. You're live.
Then I hope you can hear me after I do that.
Miracle Man, you're live. I can hear you.
You can hear me or you cannot?
I can.
Good.
Already in this demo.
And then... Praise God. Praise God, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. I'm live here at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road. I'm across the road from a Kmart store. I'm northwest of a Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network office. And the exact address is 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm here, and I just finished eating a sausage McGriddle, which is on the $1, $2, $3 value menu. For $2, you get a sausage McGriddle, a sausage sandwiched between two hotcakes with a tiny bit of syrup on it, and it's pretty good stuff, alongside a toasty, crispy hash brown from McDonald's. And before I get into the introductions and the phone number, I will first give you the plan. And that plan is the plan for tonight, and that is this. For tonight, we're going to do our reading on faith from Hebrews, and we're going to continue reading in Exodus on the plagues and what happened with Pharaoh and Israel and stuff. And then we're going to do our exhortation on that based on what God has me say. Then I'm going to talk about the North again, about cars. Tonight I thought it would be about, what my dream car would be to drive and why. And at that point, I would like listeners to be able to chime in. Even the preacher man, I'd like him to chime in when that time comes, as far as what's his favorite car or what's his dream car to drive and why. And what made me think of this is that the North American International Auto Show is going on right now at Cobo Center. Right now it's like media days and stuff, but the public viewing doesn't start until Saturday. But I figured I'd take some of the time tonight and talk about the car or cars that I'd really love to be able to drive, in my healing manifest, and why I'd want to drive that vehicle or those vehicles, and kind of What do I love about it? Is it the motor? Is it how far off the ground it is? Is it, why do I love it? And then. So that's going to be tonight. And then, yes, I am going to talk about the sports based on what happened last night and the Michigan versus Maryland and what happened there. And also, I got something funny to tell you about Paul Allen, the radio talk show host, who's also the play-by-play announcer. I was listening to his radio show today that he does there in Minneapolis, and he's a pretty funny guy. He really is. And he was talking
really funny on that play.
Yeah, he's an entertaining guy. I just wished he was somewhere else other than Minnesota, like somewhere down south, or around here. Personally, right now he's way up there right now on the list of people I really want to meet is Paul Allen. He is, because I love his excitement and stuff, and it'd be fun. I'm going to have to look in a couple months to see when the Lions play the Vikings. Because I'm sure Paul would be there. Don't you think he would?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
Do you think he'd be able to sign any autographs?
Oh yeah.
Because I was thinking of like if I went back to Minnesota and then I just thought you know, oh yeah, when Detroit plays Minnesota next in Detroit, that Paul will be here. You know that Mr. Allen will be here, because even though I'm not the biggest Vikings fan, I like him a lot. And I always liked him, but I never truly fell in love with him until like that play. And I listened to how he analyzed it, and then I heard some of his music. But more on that to come later in the show. And so, with that, folks, I ask you to just be patient for a minute, because we always have new listeners, and we want to be able to share this program with others. So as Mark D. Buckley says, sorry for being, if we appear to be repetitive, but we always have new church family and that's what he says. But I always say, you know, we always have new listeners. And so, folks, if you're a new listener, or maybe you know some people who want to, who are looking to get into this program, to join us and listen to us, you know, whoever you are, here's what you can tell these people about how to get on. Here's what you tell them. Go to, on your computer or on your smart device, go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Don't go in the App Store or your, or I don't think the Android market has it either. There's not a Blog Talk Radio app, unfortunately, so you'll have to go to the website, blogtalkradio.com, all one word, like I said. And what you do is you'll see a search box. In that search box, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, that's Upfront Entertainment. Click on the link, and that'll take you to our show, The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And we're right now on episode number 71.
Wow.
So we've done 70 of these, and this is our 71st one. It's hard to believe that it hasn't quite been 180 days, yet we've done 71 shows.
Yep.
Yep. But that just goes to show, you know, time flies. And, so this is our 71st episode. And we're so glad you've come to join us. And so also we have a follow button. You can hit that follow button. What's going to happen when you hit that follow button is this. For example, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at 5:30, we're going to do another show. And what's going to happen there is then is a little bit before it's showtime, you're going to get a notification on your device, and it's going to say this, Preacher and Miracle Man go live in 15 minutes, or something like that, or it might be a half hour before the show you'll get the notification, but sure enough, before the show, when it gets close to showtime, you'll get a notification there on your device or your laptop. Oh, by the way, it is a very smart choice to listen to and to follow this program on your smartphone or your smart tablet or your smart iPad, iWatch, Apple Watch. You know, I just got the iPhone. I could care less about the iWatch. It'd be cool to have, but you know, needless to say, I just got the phone. But you can follow us, and then you can listen to us wherever you are on your smart device. And then also, we have a phone number that you can call in to the show and talk to us. And the telephone number is 215-383-3810. Again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Okay? And then you press 1 after you call. You'll be prompted. You press 1. Then you'll go through the screener. And then you can come on and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you if you want to talk to us. If it's prayer that you're looking for, we'd be so happy to pray with you.
Amen.
And here's the thing, folks. We're in the last days. We're in the very last of the last days. In the last days, people need hope badly. People need help. And if you need help, if you need someone to pray with you, call us. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. If you have a question to ask us, go ahead and call us and talk to us. You still mad? If you're one of those Saints fans and you're mad that your Vikes, that the Vikes took it away from you, call us and we'll talk you through it. But nonetheless, you know, all honesty, we want to help you. If you're going through some stuff, you need someone to talk to, call us. We're gonna give you better advice than those some others might give you anyways. Because we totally believe in the Bible. And some other people are just going to tell you, blah, 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 blah. Call us. We'd love to help you. And I'm going to give you that number so you don't forget it. 215-383-3810. By the way, if you're listening to the show, put that number on your phone. As we would love to talk to you. So that would be great. Now we have two house rules that we would like to kindly ask you to help us with. Rule number one, this is not a political talk show. We don't believe that politics necessarily breeds life. On this show, we don't believe that it breeds life. Yes, it's important to pay attention to what's going on and stuff, but when it comes to politics, we don't want it to get into any kind of bickering and all that kind of stuff, so we're just not going to have it. And also, if it's politics you want, there's other good talk show hosts that you can listen to. And like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, among others. But we are not one of them. If it's politics you want to talk about, what we're going to tell you to do, we're going to tell you to pray for your leaders that represent you wherever you are. Because you should really be praying over your leaders anyway. But if you want to come on the show and talk about politics, that's what we're going to tell you. But we're going to do it in love. We're not going to do it to kick you off. We're going to do it in love. I'm not going to scream at you because I love you. The second rule is this is a family show, so make sure that any and all comments that you give are appropriate for families and for all people to be able to feel comfortable. We've came up with a simple rule of this. If you wouldn't say it to Jesus, please don't come on this program and say it on this program.
Yeah. Amen.
So that's something. So we've come up with that. And so you can help us with that. That'll be fantastic. And so with that, I'm now going to get into a word of prayer and then get into the message for this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show, and I thank you for these wonderful listeners. I pray, Lord God, that your hand is upon me, that your hand is on Preacher Man, and your hand is upon these listeners. I pray, Lord, that you would bless my mouth and bless Preacher Man's mouth. You know, and if there's something that you want Preacher Man to say that can save someone's life,
yeah, whatever, help us.
Just reveal it to me and let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit tonight. And I just claim that you'd bless these listeners, that you'd bless the show, and that you would bless us with great sponsors so that we can do some great things with the show. And I just claim, Lord God, that your hand, that you are the main one who runs this show in this outfit here. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 10. Hallelujah. Exodus, chapter 10.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you got your Bibles, if you'd please turn with me to Exodus 10. We strongly believe in participation. So if we sing, you sing. If we pray, you pray. Right now, as we're opening the Bible, you open it with us and study. And see, so you can see for yourself what God is saying. So, hang on, I'm just finding my place, and then I'm going to begin. But we believe that in participation, that this is not just River Shukla reading verses and no one paying attention. No.
Right.
It is River Shukla reading verses.
Yep.
But it's also you reading, following along, paying attention, taking notes. God wants me to, you know, to give a list of some certain things. If I were you, I'd be taking notes. So that God can help you. And so with that, I have found my spot, so I will now begin. Exodus 10, we begin with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Israelites, and how I perform my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land until now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go, so that they may worship the Lord, their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord, your God," he said. "But just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are a festival to the Lord. We are going to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you if I let you go, along with your women and children. Clearly, you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron drive out of Pharaoh's presence. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail. So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in an area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on a tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord our God, your God, to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind. It caught up all the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Still wouldn't let them go. Still. After all those crazy locusts. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." But Moses says, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping to the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." "Just as you say," Moses replied. "I will never appear before you again." Now you think about that. Pharaoh basically gave Moses a death threat. Yep, a death threat. Basically saying, "You come, I kill you." That's pretty fierce stuff. Nonetheless, let's go to Hebrews. I still couldn't find that page, so you go ahead and read the first 12 verses? We're going to Hebrews chapter 11.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, preacher.
All right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And you know it wasn't because he was saying it. When you have a testimony, other people are saying, this man pleases God.
And by the way, the devil provides the test. God provides the money.
Yes. That's a good one.
That's why it's called a testimony.
Test for some money.
Yep.
Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can also say, but with faith, it's possible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God, that God is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for that city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, verse 13.
All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Then, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. I'm turning the page. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents, he hid him for 3 months after they were born, after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. Now, you think about that, shutting the mouths of lions and quenching the fury of the flames. That was stuff that Daniel had to go through. The fiery furnace and the and that crazy lion's den that Daniel got put into for praying. I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, and who shut the mouths of lions. He shut the mouths of the lions of Daniel, that Daniel was in that den, so that the lions wouldn't hurt Daniel. Quenched the fury of the flames, that was for that, so that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel didn't get burnt when they were in the fiery furnace. And he escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who with the joy sent after him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now you think about that, fixing your eyes on Jesus. There's a hymn that talks about that. It's an old hymn, but it's a good hymn. And it goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, in what is wonderful things, in the things of earth will grow strangely dim, in the word of his glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, in all his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now you think about that. When you're going through some stuff, we all go through storms. And what's something you can do that can really help you with that? Turn your eyes. Fix your eye. And focus on Jesus. As Jesus is the answer for the world today. And above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, so you think about in Exodus, you know, and Moses basically said, you know, Pharaoh says, well, take your people, but leave the animals. Moses, of course, said, I need the animals too. Because how do I know, how am I going to know what they're going to have there where we're going? How am I going to know what they're going to have so I can make sacrifices to God? I need the animals too. Thankfully, with Jesus, we don't have to do those kind of animal sacrifices. But you think about that, and you just go, wow. And, you know, people say, we should throw away the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament isn't for today. It's only New Testament, New Testament, New Testament. No. God gave us the Old Testament for a reason. So we can learn from it.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, God has very important instructions for all of us that are in that Old Testament. And they're also referred to in the New Testament. One example of that is those six things that the Lord hates. God actually used the hate word. But you just think about it, and people say, some people might say, no, the Old Testament isn't for today. What are you doing reading about Moses? I'm reading about Moses because it all had to come from somewhere. And Moses was a great leader. And Joshua and Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron and Moses. And these believers that lived before us and leaders that led before us, we have so much to learn. And that's why I'm spending this time reading about Moses. I'm talking about him because we're walking through. And we saw with that Pharaoh still wouldn't ease up his heart after that darkness and those locusts. Imagine the locusts just coming and wiping out. Imagine like termites doing all kinds of damage. Well, that's basically what locusts are. Locusts are a form. If you've ever had to deal with termites, you might have seen that commercial called 1-800-TERMINIX. And we'll come and we'll exterminate all these termites, cockroaches, whatever you got. Oh, but those locusts, there were so many of them that you couldn't call Terminix. You had to look to God. Calling Terminix didn't do nothing for him. And so, let me just think here. Lord God, what do you want? So, you know, and also, I just think of this idea. I just think of this idea right now that these people, you know, those people who came before us, they didn't get the things that were promised. And that verse that says, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. That's with us. That means that we can all get our miracles that we're believing for. But we have to be willing to ask and believe. We can't be doubting Thomas. We can't be doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas only skipped one church service. I don't know why he skipped it. Maybe he was ill. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to be there. Maybe he was like some of us, like we're like, I don't want to go to church today. So I'm not going to go. I don't know. But he only missed one church service and he doubted Jesus. He doubted. If we're believing for something, if you're believing for something, do not doubt. Never doubt that God can deliver you, because he can deliver you. He will deliver you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. He wants to change your circumstances if you'll let him. You have to let him. And yes, there's natural things you can do too, but sometimes with some things, only a move of God can change it. And he wants to change it. We have to let him. We have to allow him to work in us. But, and the big but, the big however is this. In order for God to work in you, you have to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to. Because not only will you not make heaven if you don't ask him into your Lord and Savior, but you won't get the other benefits, such as having miracles and having testimonies, unless you ask Jesus Christ and to be your personal Lord and Savior. And we can talk you through and show you how to do it. It's only, there's a prayer you pray. It only takes 15 seconds. It doesn't cost you any money. And it doesn't, it's not painful at all. Doesn't even feel, oh, you're thinking like, how bad does it hurt? It doesn't even feel like the doctor touching you when you're in the doctor's office. Less pain than that even. No pain at all. And when you give your life to Christ, God will change you if you just let him. And you can call us at 215-383-3810, and we will gladly help you and walk you through so that God can change your life forever. And you get to choose your destiny, whether it be heaven or hell. It's up to you. This is the last days. And quite honestly, if you're not sure if you're going to, for sure that you're going to make heaven if you die tonight, call us, please. We'll pray with you. We'll walk you through it. We love you. We care so much about your soul. We don't want to see anybody we know go to hell if we can help it. Because I don't want anybody's blood on my hand on Judgment Day when God comes up to me and says, hey, River, how about all these people that you were supposed to get saved? I pray that I'd be able to say, yes, Jesus, I did. So I'm giving you this opportunity to please call in this program. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, that we can help you. And you can just give your life to Christ and be a new creation. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes, sir.
The old has passed away and the new has come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank Novi. You.
Ending us to end it. And hey, I know I was just a little guy when I got saved, but still, what if I hadn't? What if I hadn't? Pastors talked before about how he wished that he had done like I had done and got saved when he was just a little guy, so that he could have had a much better outcome when he was younger. If he would have had, could have had an invasion to go to, if he could have had spiritual parents, if he could have had, if he could have had, if he could have had. He didn't have it. No. If he could have had it, then his early part of his life could have been a lot better. But his testimony is still awesome. And I still say, thank God that he saved a sinner like me. Because the Bible does say that all men have sinned. All of us have. And sin is sin, no matter how severe or not severe it is. It's still a sin. You know? And so that means we've all done something. So I say, thank God that you would forgive me and that you would love a sinner like me. You know? And that's not a Mark Barclay thing. That should be for all of us. That's why pastors had to say it before. Because in the Old Testament, we would have had to be sacrificing our lives away, basically, for everything we've said and didn't. We've said and we should have, everything we did that we shouldn't have done and didn't do that we should have done. Can you imagine all the sacrifices and all the burnt offerings and all the crazy times we'd have to go to the flock? Wow. I don't know how we'd have time to do this show because we'd have to still be sacrificing. Do you bet you'd have to be out sacrificing something out in the cold?
Well, that's
probably
the problem.
What?
That's the problem, yeah. Everybody be out there.
We'd all be out there with the flock sacrificing because of everything we've done. But thank you, Jesus, that you were the ultimate sacrifice. No, this is not a license to just go do what you wanna, you know. No. It's a privilege to be saved by God. And that through him we can have that new life. And that freedom, deliverance, miracle healing, the fruit of the Spirit from the Spirit of God within us. Please give your life to Christ. It'll be so much easier to live that way for him. So much less expensive. But dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for these great listeners. I claim that they would take to heart what I've said about tonight, what I've said about following you and about, you know, Moses and about giving their life to you, Lord God. And I just pray that you'd bless them for listening to me. These people for listening to me challenge them. I pray that they'd take this word to heart and that they would, you know, really think and that they would just choose you, Jesus. And I just give you honor and glory and praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I promised you tonight that I was going to talk about what my favorite car would be for me to drive. And my dream car to drive had been a Hummer H2, but General Motors does not make that anymore. And originally, the H2 I would have wanted to drive would have been like the first H2 they made, which would be like an 02. An 03, actually, but anything that's in 03 now is getting very old. And Hummer departed from General Motors in 2008. So now I'd want to drive a really cool General Motors SUV that's nice and really high off the ground like a Hummer. I think of a Cadillac Escalade, as I enjoy the Cadillac Escalade. I got to ride in one before. Why is it beeping?
Oh, that's over here on me. Messages coming in. Sorry. I'll shut that down.
But what's going on? I was like, so yeah, my dream car to drive now would be a new Escalade or newer Escalade, or possibly still an 02 or 03 or 04 or up to about 2008 Hummer H2, and that would be my dream car. And here's why. It's high off the ground, a lot of horsepower, a lot of cool features inside the vehicle. The seats are comfortable. A lot of cool features like heated seats. And by the way, the Escalade now has cooled seats as an option for during the summer, for if you're in the south like Alabama, like my dream place, or Georgia or Tennessee, because on some hot summer days down there, you'll wish you had a cooled seat. And so they'll have that option. And they have the nice cool speakers so you can jam out to your favorite music. Some good old Christian rap or whatever, like something they play at Invasion. You got that thumping bass, Holy Ghost bass, I like to call it, as long as it's good Christian music, and you just going down the road and you got your Holy Ghost bass going in your car. So that's my dream car. It's a nice powerful motor, nice cold AC, nice rims and wheels, and those nice big tires, a nice big trunk so I can haul stuff if I need to. And if it's a much newer Escalade, some better fuel economy would be nice to have, because that Hummer H2 does not have very good fuel economy. It does not. But
about 10 miles a gallon.
And for me, that's not going to cut it, because if it was me driving, I would go, I would be on the road a lot, especially here. That's part of why I like down south and down like towards Detroit more, as well as like those southern states, because then everything you want is closer. That doesn't mean I wouldn't still travel. I would a lot, but still, you know, I'd love to drive, and I believe in God, you know, for my healing to be made manifest. And something else I'm gonna look at when I go to the auto show is these autonomous cars. Hope there's going to be an autonomous display there with someone at it that I can talk to about it. Because I'd like to know, you know, these to talk to you. Can you talk to it and tell it where you want to go and have it speak back to you? because that's what I'd like, would be like a series. And I'd tell it, you know, I could tell it, for example, take me to a certain address in Clarkston, Michigan, or take me to 2010 North Stark Road, tell it the address. And 2010 North Stark Road, for example, is church. And, you know, and it would drive you. But that's my dream car. What it has is high horsepower, great speakers. Good fuel economy would be nice. Good ground clearance, moonroof, and the heated seats and cold seats would be a nice to have. But so that's what my dream car is like, and it would be Cadillac Escalade or the older Hummer H2. So, Preacher Man, I thought I'd ask you what your dream car is and why and what it has in it.
Well, I'm a little different than some because my dream car is a older model Dodge with a Cummins diesel in it. You get about 28 miles to the gallon. Has all the horsepower you need to pull anything you want to pull when you got to pull it. Some big four-wheel drive tires on it. Ability to tear up the dirt or just go down the road in style, and all the power you need.
What's the horsepower count on it? What's the count?
You got me on that. I think it's probably like, because it's a work truck, so it's probably got like 350 horse or something, but it's torque horsepower, not speed.
350 is cool.
It's a six-cylinder diesel engine, so it's got lots of pull, lots of snort, lots of go. And, you know, I live out in the country, so I mean, if I had a car I'd want to drive, and it'd be like you'd be the Escalade, because I really like how comfortable they are. But once again, that's a four-wheel drive truck, really, you know. So,
And it has a lot of power.
Yeah.
Because I'm a power guy, like Pastor.
Yep.
And if it were to be a smaller car, it would be, if it was a smaller car, not an SUV, it would be for more power, is what I'd want it to be for.
Yeah.
Like with, because I like the horsepower, you know, and there that, you know, when you're driving and all that horsepower and everything. I'm a power guy, just like Mark Barkley.
Yep. I like power.
I am.
I don't have to. 200 miles an hour, but I like to go 0 to 50 fast.
Me too. Doesn't have to be 0 to 80 in 2 seconds, but 0 to 50 in a few seconds would be nice. As I safely work my way up to about 80 on the freeway, 78. Or, sorry, Mark. I mean, you know. 69. By Mark, I'm an officer, Klein, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I teased and said, sorry, Mark. You know, huh?
Yeah.
But nonetheless. And so, and why is that you prefer what you have?
Well, I just, you know, I'm a country guy, so I'm always hooking up to something to pull it or move it or cut it down or something. So gives me the ability to go and do. I drove a friend of mine one time. There was a fishery up in Traverse City that was giving away a lot of salmon. And so we used his truck and a trailer, and we hauled like 1,200 salmon back in it from Traverse City to West. and gave them away to people. Yeah, it was awesome. And the thing, pulling 1,200 salmon got 25 miles of the gallon. It was amazing. And it rides nice.
Yeah.
And it's a truck. And so, you know, he convinced me right there. And his truck isn't even fancy. I'd like one a little fancier. And I like a good radio and CD player. I got to have a CD player because I got a lot of CDs I'd like to listen to, teaching stuff. So,
yep,
that's me. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at online here. You know, I found one for as low as $2,900 and one for as much as $39,000. And they were used, so.
Depends on what you want.
It depends on what you want. That's right. And I don't believe in poverty. I believe in prosperity. So the thing about it is they don't make that specific model like I was looking for anymore. So I'd have to buy a used one to get it. But that's right. They'll last for 1,000,000 miles. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
And my reasoning for possibly an Escalade is something with all-wheel drive if I'm up here, as well as for down there, if I live down way down south, that it would a newer Escalade would have the cooled seats for me, for like, you know, so that if you're in a place that's super humid, like certain parts of Alabama or Texas, that you can turn on your cooled seat and then it'll cool you right down.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that'd be nice. It'd be like the bath without the water.
Yep.
What I would call that would be an air bath, you know? Have you ever had that, like where you've been outside and where you've been outside and you're so hot and maybe you don't think or nothing, but you need to be cooled down. So you get in your car or whatever, or you get in your house and like you take a good air bath, you know?
Yep.
By that, I mean, like you get close to the AC and what have you, and you just let it cool you down, you know?
Yep.
And you just turn it up. And then all of a sudden when your car, pretty soon it's nice and dry and cool in there for you, you know? And that's a nice air bath, you know? And hopefully you're thinking about the Lord while you're doing it, because there's a song from when I was little, but this is what we should still be doing. And it's, when I take a bath, I think about the Lord and how he washed away my sin. Let me tell you more. He washed my hands so I could smile and tell the world I am his child. Jesus fills me up with hope and he washes me with super soap.
and that's all of us.
And because we all need washed by him, and he washes us. You know, just think about that, and that's some awesome stuff. And now, before I get into sports, this segment of autos has been brought to you by General Motors, where you can get great warranties on new and used cars with several great brands, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and Chevrolet. General Motors has the vehicle for you. See a dealer for details or visit a website like Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and GMC. And General Motors is moving forward. As a new car, you can get features such as OnStar, XM Satellite with some models. For example, my mom's 2014 car has XM Satellite on it, which is cool because you get all these different stations. And so that's pretty cool. So with that, to sports we go. And last night, Michigan beats Maryland. They only beat them by 1 point, though, 79-78 at Chrysler Center. And Michigan will play again soon. Now, I talked earlier about that Paul Allen thing. And he's getting all riled up, you know. He's all surprised at what happened. But it's not the first time that he got riled up like that about a certain play. You should have heard him 2 years ago when Blair Walsh missed that crazy, that silly 25 field goal, yard field goal. But he had a player from last year today on his show, Paul Allen did, and he was saying basically that Paul Allen missed some practice, no, that Blair Walsh, Minnesota's kicker, had missed some practices a week or two prior. So no wonder he missed a field goal. He missed it. And had he kicked it and got it, they would have made the playoffs. I mean, they would have beaten the Seahawks and got to go to Charlotte. But because he missed a chip shot, that's what happens. You know, pride comes before the fall. Also, he got really mad when Favre threw that final pick back in 2009 that ended up eliminating them from the playoffs as they lost to the Saints in New Orleans in overtime on a field goal that the Saints made. But Mr. Allen has got to call some great plays, such as a play in 2009 where Favre threw for a touchdown pass right as time was expiring in a game with the 49ers back in 2009. They're like, oh my heavens, touchdown! You know, and he's like all riled up. And I love the guy and how he commentates and the silly remarks he'll make here and there. And, yep, it looks like we're going to be able to hear his call of the Eagles-Vikings game on iHeartRadio. As that is the exact feed that I will be listening to, is Paul Allen, to see what will he do next. What will the Vikings do next? Does Keenan have any miracles left in him so that the Vikings could possibly be home for the Super Bowl? Or will the Eagles win? That is something I'm going to think about, by the way, between tonight and tomorrow when I formulate a pick. Also, the AFC side, there's a game on Sunday, and I have to think about who I picked to win that one as well. As well as some other basketball games and that will be coming up this weekend and will be picked by me. So, folks, I hope you greatly enjoyed listening to this show. Hope you were enlightened and enjoyed our car segment for tonight and enjoyed this brief little.
So we don't have any football to announce tonight, huh? No, there's no Monday night football last night?
Nope, that ended weeks ago.
Oh, that's
too bad.
That
ended weeks ago. I know. But nonetheless, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always.
God always.
So long, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow night.
So long. Bless you, man. Love you.
Yep. Love you.